The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Today on Cornerstone Connection with Pastor Gary Hamrick.
Real love is calling, listen, truth opens up your eyes. Mercy is waiting for you with every sunrise.
Are you a better person because of the friends that you've chosen? Now, iron sharpening iron means that there's friction. In every friendship and every relationship, there's going to be a little friction. Sparks fly when iron sharpens iron. But if at the end of the day you can realize that that friction actually helped me to become a better person, and that the friction maybe I inflicted in someone actually helped them to become a sharper person, a better person, then that's a true friend.
This is Cornerstone Connection, the radio ministry of Pastor Gary Hamrick of Cornerstone Chapel in Leesburg, Virginia. Pastor Gary is teaching through Proverbs. As Christians, it is important that we seek out friends who will bring the best out of us. Pastor Gary challenges us to develop friendships with fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. These are people who can relate and help with the path which we, as Christians, are to take. They are people whom we can pour into and whom can likewise pour back into us. To find and develop these relationships, take part in church activities and events. Through spending time together, you will be able to challenge, bless, inspire, and pray for one another. Well, let's join Pastor Gary in the book of Proverbs, chapter 7, with part 2 of his message, Friends and Family in Proverbs.
Find the cornerstones, your connection, run towards your new life.
I just want to make mention of this. In the book of Proverbs, there's not a single verse that talks about how a man is a good catch. Not one. Sorry to blow our cover, guys, but there's not a single verse. There's not Proverbs chapter 32 that talks about the virtuous man. Some noble guy. Look at this, a whole chapter devoted to him. It's not in there. It's not in the book of Proverbs. Guys, in some ways, we're kind of like the leftover candy at the bottom of the Halloween bag. Cowtails. You know, nobody really wants that. Or those waxy little bottles of Coke. What are you supposed to do with that? Are you supposed to eat the whole thing? I still don't even know. Spit the wax out. That's kind of how we are, guys. That's kind of how we are. Not a single verse about what a good catch. What a good catch. Now, having said that, ladies, of all the wonderful verses that are in Proverbs about how wonderful you are as great wives and noble women, there are also 4 verses in the book of Proverbs warning wives, in particular, about being quarrelsome. There are 4 verses. I'm only going to share one, which is probably one too many. But just a little word of warning, Proverbs 21:19, better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and ill-tempered wife. I'm not sure who's clapping on that. If there's a guy clapping, you're in trouble. Better to live in a desert. Wow. Some of you guys have been through the desert on a horse with no name. It's good to get out of the rain. In the desert, you can't remember your name because there ain't no one for to give you no pain. Anyway, let's move on. Let's talk about family for a little bit, because in the book of Proverbs, it also gives us some wonderful advice. First, we'll talk about advice to parents. Proverbs, advice to parents, is that there are 3 primary ways that you can show love to your kids. And the first way that Proverbs highlights that you can show love to your kids is by correction. Now, I didn't put it as the first thing because it should be the first resort, but simply because Proverbs has more to say about this one than it does the other two that I'm going to mention in a moment. Proverbs 13, verse 24 says, "He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him." And Proverbs 12, 15, it says, "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him." Now notice that folly is bound up in the heart of a child, meaning that foolishness and sin are woven into our nature from birth. And so it is important that parents lovingly discipline their kids, correcting them so that they will grow up to become well-behaved, disciplined adults. Now, I know this gets a little controversial because I'm reading verses that basically talk about some corporal punishment here. It talks about spanking. It talks about correction in terms of, you know, disciplining them with a spank. And this gets a little bit of controversial. Some of you are adamantly opposed to spanking your kids, and you know, you just are in the camp that says we're just going to give our kids time out, and that's the way that we correct our kids, through time out. And you know, I'm old school, so we never did time out with our kids. But if that works for you, then that's great. Particularly when you have children who are very hypersensitive about when they do wrong. You don't want to damage their spirit. So if they are hypersensitive about when they do wrong, just a glance and they will feel the conviction. And sometimes that's enough. We had 2 out of 3 kids like that. Tyler and Lindsay, you could glance at them. And they just immediately were like, okay, we know we did wrong. And I don't remember, I'm sure I spanked them a couple times, but I don't remember very much of that because you could just look at them and they just were immediately under conviction. But we were a family that practiced spanking. I was spanked growing up. I mean, there was a paddle that hung in our kitchen. A paddle. You know the kind that had the rubber ball and the elastic on the end like that? When that elastic fell off the path, my mom saved it. And it became the tool in our house. Now, I learned from that. I'm like, well, we're not going to use a tool. We're just going to use our hand. But for 2 out of 3 kids, all you had to do was give them a glance. But then there was Austin, the middle kid. And sometimes we just had to roll Old Testament style. Do you know what I'm saying to you? I mean, a glance just didn't do it. Sometimes the right hand of fellowship had to meet the rear end of rebellion. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? And I know, we were like reading James Dobson, like, what? Okay, Dobson says, wait till they're at least 18 months. Man, a year and a half, I couldn't wait. I mean, it was just like, we got to do something about this child, you know, and timeout just wouldn't have worked. It would have just put him in a place where he could sit and contemplate more rebellion. So we had to roll that way a little bit. But now I'm exaggerating. I have the spiritual gift of exaggeration, and he was not that bad of a child. And in fact, you know, things turned out well. He's a pastor on staff with me now here. But there were some touch and go moments there. But we're so thankful for God's grace. Because look, you can try to do the best you can as a parent, and your kids don't necessarily turn out great, and you can also, attributing to God's grace, you can also not really do the best as a parent, and your kids turn out wonderful, and it's all God's grace. Let me just say this on the topic of spanking. If you choose to discipline your children that way, and the Bible makes some allowances in this category, never do it when you are angry. Never do it when you are angry. Never inflict injury. Okay, this is a delicate topic because some of you were beaten and abused as children yourselves. So you whenever you hear this, you instantly kind of recoil because of the damage done to you. And I get that. We need to make allowances for people who have been through a terrible misuse of correction. and recognize that that affects people differently. So we need to be mindful of that. We should never, ever spank in a way that would inflict injury. Should never be any kind of correction that would ever inflict some kind of injury to a child. And I would also add this, if you do choose to spank them on their bottoms, always follow up with hugs and words of love. Okay, but correction is a way that we show our kids we love them because we want them to turn out to be honorable adults. And sometimes kids left to themselves will just never learn that. And there's a folly that is bound up in the heart of every single one of us. And a loving thing that parents can do is lovingly, never harmfully, but lovingly discipline their kids. Another way, not just by correction, number two, also we love them by instruction. Proverbs 13, verse 1, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not listen to rebuke. So we are to be instructing our kids. And again, Proverbs 22, verse 6, the famous verse, train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Again, that is a truism. That is not a promise. Some of you have known in a very painful way that you have done the best you possibly could. You've instructed your kids in the ways of the Lord. You have done the best you could, and yet they still grew up and determined to live their life in rebellion to God, in rebellion to all the things you instructed them in the ways of the Lord, and you don't necessarily have control over that. These are truisms, friends. These are principles in the Bible. God is saying, if you practice these, it will go better for you than if you don't. But there are exceptions. There is human will involved in all of this. And kids can grow up and choose to do what they jolly well want to do, despite the fact that you've poured into them in the best way you possibly could. Don't guilt yourself or shame yourself. If you've done the best you could, then you have to leave them to the Lord. And ultimately, they're the Lord's anyway, friends. They're not ours. They're just on loan. They're from the Lord. And so we have to be good parents and good stewards of what He's entrusted to our care. And instructing them in the ways of the Lord is an important way in showing them that we love them. Number three, another word of advice from Proverbs is we love them by demonstration. In other words, by example. You love your kids by setting the example of righteousness. This is what Proverbs 20, verse 7 says. The righteous man leads a blameless life. Blessed are his children after him. Okay, look, you cannot expect your kids to live up to a righteous standard that you yourself don't live up to. Many things in life are caught, not taught. Many things are learned, especially by kids, when they see and observe you. You can't expect your kids to stop lying if you yourself tell some lies now and again. You can't expect your kids to love one another if you're not loving them. You know, we set an example for our kids hoping that they will learn it because they see it by example. A lot of life is caught, not taught. Now, there's some advice for the children, too, and I suppose the advice to children is really for those who are old enough to understand this. But here are just two verses to remind the responsibility that kids have towards their parents. Proverbs 15, verse 20, a wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Proverbs 6, 20 to 21, my son, keep your father's commands and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them upon your heart forever. There's a strong exhortation there that kids have to bring joy to their parents, they have to honor their parents, they have to respond to instruction, to obey their parents. You know, this is the command that comes with a promise, the Bible says, that they might live a long life. So this is incumbent upon kids that they understand what God says for them too. You may not always like what mom and dad are saying. You may not always agree with the way that they are making decisions, but that's not for you to decide. That's for you to just submit to and surrender to as unto the Lord and trust that God is going to use your parents in your life even through those times that you don't understand and don't agree with what they're saying to you. Honor your father and mother. Obey them in the Lord And then finally, let's move now from family, marriage and kids, to friends. I'm going to give you seven standards for good friends, that just giving you seven quick verses from the book of Proverbs. If you're taking notes, you know, I encourage you to write these down. This is good for you to understand what kind of friend you should choose and what kind of friend you should be. You know, I don't want you to listen to this list and think only to the degree of evaluating your friends, what kind of a friend are they or not, but I want us to understand this list as it first applies to us. How are we being in terms of a friend to others? So seven important things about friends. What is a good friend? Let these verses just kind of speak for themselves. The first one is this: a good friend is a good influence. Proverbs 23, 20 to 21 says, "Do not join those who drink too much wine or gorge themselves on meat, for drunkards and gluttons become poor and drowsiness clothes them in rags." In other words, if you look at your friends and you realize these are party people, you know, maybe you're wasting some of your life on that whole party scene, and don't be that friend to others where you just, you know, all you want to do is go out and get wasted with them. That's a wasted life is what that is. You need to be a good influence. You need to choose friends who are a good influence on you. Number two, a good friend is a wise example. In Proverbs 13, verse 20, "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm." We need to choose our friends wisely. And we need to be wise examples to our friends. You will become like the people you associate with. So you better choose your friends wisely, and you better be a wise friend. Number three, a good friend is one who speaks the truth. Proverbs 27, 5 and 6 says, "Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses." This last part here about an enemy multiplies kisses is actually a prophetic statement about Judas. Judas turned out to be not a good friend to Jesus. He betrayed Jesus, and he betrayed him with a kiss. He multiplied kisses. In fact, the Greek word, when it tells us in Scripture, in the Gospels, that Judas then kissed Jesus, and it was a sign to the Romans that Jesus was the one that they should arrest, the Greek word means he kissed him over and over and over again. He multiplied kisses. It was not a true friend. A true friend is somebody who speaks the truth, even when you don't necessarily want to hear it. But better open rebuke than hidden love. You want someone who's genuine. You want someone who speaks the truth in your life, and you want to be that person to someone else. Number four, a good friend is there for you through thick and thin. Proverbs 17, 17, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." Are you there, thick and thin, for someone? No one wants a fair-weather friend. No one wants a friend who's only there during the good times. The mark of a true friend is someone who's going to be with you even when times are dark and difficult. When no one else believes you, but someone who stands by you, that's a true friend, through thick and thin. Number five, a good friend is one who keeps your confidence. Proverbs 16, 28 says, "A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends." You want to kill a friendship quickly? Repeat something that you were told in confidence. It's a relationship killer. We need to learn to keep confidence when somebody tells us something. And listen, if your response when someone challenges you about why you said something that was given to you in confidence, if your response is, "Well, you didn't tell me I shouldn't tell anybody," that's lame. As a friend, you should have enough discernment, and you should have enough of a heart to recognize even the delicate things that should or should not be repeated, whether or not your friend says you can tell someone or not. A gossip separates close friends. We need to be men and women who keep confidence of a friend. Number six, a good friend sharpens you. Proverbs 27, 17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." In your friendship, is someone a better person because of your friendship? Are you a better person because of the friends that you've chosen? Now, iron sharpening iron means that there's friction. In every friendship and every relationship, there's going to be a little friction. Sparks fly when iron sharpens iron. But if at the end of the day you can realize that friction actually helped me to become a better person, and that the friction maybe I inflicted in someone actually helped them to become a sharper person, a better person, then that's a true friend. Finally, number 7, a good friend forgives easily. Proverbs 17, verse 9, he who covers an offense promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. There's going to be some times in relationships where you're going to have to extend some forgiveness. Covering over an offense promotes love. Recognizing that you have been forgiven and therefore you need to forgive those who maybe have offended you as well. It's important that we choose our friends wisely. And it's important that we are a good friend to others. I'll close with this last verse here that I'd like you to find in your Bibles, but I'm going to put it up on the screen as well. It's Proverbs 18:24. Highlight it or circle it in your Bibles, because it says this: a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Notice again, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Now, I underline that last part. There's a friend who sticks closer than a brother, because it's an important follow-up to the first part. A man of many companions may come to ruin. What does that mean? It means there's an important single friend that you need to have. And it is better to have one true, trusted friend than a multitude of unreliable ones. And that one true, trusted friend that everybody needs to have is Jesus. Because he will never disappoint you. People, humanly speaking, will. Jesus will never disappoint you. Jesus will never forsake you. He will never abandon you. He will be there good times and bad times. He is that friend who sticks closer than a brother. Jesus even said in John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. What was Jesus saying when he said that? He's basically saying that when I go to the cross, it's the greatest demonstration of my love for you to prove that I'm the one true reliable friend in your life. When anyone else may disappoint you, Jesus never will. He says, I'm going to go to the cross for you. I'm going to die for your sins. I'm going to lay down my life for you. That's the depth of my love. That's the evidence of my friendship. Jesus needs to be, if he isn't already, your greatest, best friend. Your greatest, best friend. There's a hymn, actually, that we sing about this. It was written in 1855 by Joseph Scrivens, who was born in Dublin, Ireland in 1820. Joseph Scrivens was about to be married, had met and known a beautiful young lady even from his youth, and finally their wedding day approached. But the day before they were to get married, she tragically, accidentally drowned. Joseph Scrivens was in the depths of despair, as we can only imagine when that kind of a thing happens. And out of his pain, he wrote a hymn that has become popular even today, called What a Friend We Have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Further down in the song he writes, can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer.
The wisdom of the Proverbs transcend time and culture. And we're so glad you chose to study them with us today on Cornerstone Connection. Be sure to tune in next time as Pastor Gary Hamrick relays additional verses that practically apply to each of our lives. Cornerstone Connection has an archive of past messages available to you on our website. If you'd like to hear other teachings right now, just visit cornerstoneconnection.cc and click on Teaching Library under the Teachings tab. Are you listening right now in the Leesburg, Virginia area? If so, we want to meet you in person. Our listeners are always welcome to come be a part of our weekly worship services at Cornerstone Chapel, where these teachings originate from. Join us on Sundays at 8:30, 10, and 11:45 a.m. or stop by Wednesday at 7 p.m. for an in-depth Bible study. We're excited to have you worship and fellowship with us. You'll get all the details you need at cornerstoneconnection.cc or give us a call. You can reach Cornerstone Connection at 703-771-1500. Please let us know as well how we could be praying for you. That number again is 703-771-1500. That's all we have time for today. Thanks for tuning in today to Cornerstone Connection.
They say you're a wandering soul, that you've got no place to go, but still you know, you're not alone.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.